Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hello, you guys. Welcome back to the What We Said podcast. If you are watching this on YouTube, hello, this is our new studio. And if
hopefully
you're not,
it worked.
Yeah, hopefully it worked. If you're not watching this on YouTube, you can check us out on YouTube now. We are recording our podcast. You guys have been asking for forever. You've been begging us. But that's not the most important thing we're talking about today. We're going to cut the crap, okay? No other life updates. We do have lots to catch you up on, but there's one thing. And we're going to try to get through this episode without tears, but they're already coming. Do you want to take it away?
You guys, I am pregnant.
Woo! Oh, sorry. I just blew the speaker.
Woo! I was going to make a joke and say Gypsy Rose got out of prison. And that's why we're here today. That's also why we're here.
Yeah.
No, but I am pregnant, you guys. I'm like so nervous. Right? This is the most nervous I've ever been. I'm never nervous to record a podcast. But I think there's so many changes today. It's a new year. It's 2024.
We got lights on us.
We got lights, camera action. We're trying to film this for YouTube. I don't know where to look. I don't know if I should look at the camera or at Chelsea. And I am officially pregnant. And yeah. We're breaking the news. Well, maybe I broke the news yesterday.
Yeah.
On my social media. I'm not sure exactly the...
But we're here to get the tea.
Timing of everything. But yeah, I'm here to chat about everything. And I literally do not know where to start.
I know. There's so much.
Because there's so much to talk about. And there's so much to catch up on.
The secret's out. It's been... Ugh. I've been fantasizing about this day for so long. Before you're even pregnant. Like, so the fact that this day is here is like... Just amazing. I can't believe it. There's so much to talk about. So maybe we start, obviously not from the beginning, but from the middle-ish. Like, talk about, you know, how this came to be.
Yeah, I've really detailed my entire infertility IVF experience on YouTube. A lot more, I guess, detailed, like visually, obviously. So if you've watched that, I didn't want to rehash like exactly what I've already talked about on my other social media channels. So I feel like I'll try and go into different areas of detail in this episode. But I do want to say I'm like out of my first trimester.
Yeah.
So I've been pregnant for a little while. We've all known, well, like we all as in, you know, some close people in my life and Leif and I have known for a little bit now. So I feel like it's not as fresh and like shocking to me, obviously, because I've known for a few months, but it still is shocking, and I have so much imposter syndrome because I just literally never thought this would be real. Like, it just never felt like it would actually happen. But yeah, Leif and I went to our first meeting with our IVF doctor was last February. So it was almost a year ago that we decided, like, okay, let's get the ball rolling. And we had actually had a meeting. He was booked out for like 3 months. So literally in November, I think it was, of last year.
Yeah.
Like,
2022
is when we made our appointment to talk to him in like 3 months.
Yeah.
And then pretty much ever since February, I've been doing a lot of IVF stuff. Like, I had a few months of a break, but I was getting procedures done, testing. We were just doing all the stuff to prep, see if IVF was a good option for us. And because we did three IUIs like 2 years ago, 2 summers ago, that obviously did not work. And I've kind of briefly talked about that. But IVF is more invasive. It's more expensive. And because of that, we were like, this will probably be the answer for us. Also with our only, which I don't think I even mentioned this in my YouTube video, weirdly, but like people have been asking, like, what is the issue? What is the reason you are doing IVF or the fertility problem you ran into? And for us, it was always more on Leif's end was the only like irregular result we had ever gotten as far as fertility testing. And it was with his sperm. I say all of this with his permission, by the way. And the doctor had, when we were doing IUIs and stuff and we got the initial testing, the doctor had said maybe it was because he had childhood cancer and he went through chemotherapy and he's seen that before happen, like even though it happened when he was a kid. So we were like, okay, that's probably it. But the good thing was, is that with IVF, it kind of can solve the issue that we personally had. So it was like, you know, with IVF, you're going in, or the doctor's going in and specifically picking out the best sperm. So you kind of solve that issue we had.
So insane.
So that being said, we were just super hopeful about IVF. And we were like, well, that sounds like it will just be the answer. And yeah, we did months of testing. I had like different procedures, which I kind of detailed in my YouTube video. Hysteroscopy, whatever. HSG test to check my tubes. Like so many different things. And yeah, everything looked really good. We got good results. We got a good amount of embryos that we were super happy with after our egg retrieval. And we did our first transfer and it was unsuccessful, which you guys saw. I did post that, just the results of that first one. And then we did another month of testing to see if there was anything else. I did something called an ERA test, which again, I go into more detail with, which I'm so grateful we did because I really think that that's how I got pregnant. And then the second transfer worked. And here we are. It's like I said, I've had some time to now like process the news. And I also, I wanted to say, I was so genuinely hesitant to post. You know, I was going back and forth for a while about even just posting any of it.
Yeah.
Like
you did it in the first
place. Even just IVF. I was like, I don't mind saying I did IVF. Like, it's not a secret. But I had filmed just so many details of it. And looking back, I'm like shocked at how much footage I really did film.
So much, yeah.
For one of two reasons, I was like, I want to be able to look back on this. I want to have this documented. Maybe I'll post it, like, if I feel like it. Because I filmed all of our IUIs, all of our previous fertility treatments, and I just never posted it because I just didn't feel comfortable, I guess. It just felt very raw, very personal. And I was like, I just don't want to post this. So I ended up never posting that stuff. So I was like, I kind of had the same energy with this IVF thing. I was like, I will record all of this. I will maybe start to edit it together and see how I feel. But I'm not going to just commit to like posting this for sure because it's so personal. It's so vulnerable. And I just had this like very strong feeling literally a few weeks ago that I was like, I want to post it. Like, I feel good about it. I feel like I should share the journey. And then there was a part of me that was like, maybe I won't share the footage of the first transfer failing. Maybe I'll just, again, I don't mind saying that like, oh, we had a failed transfer, but the second one worked. But I was just like,
showing something so raw.
Yeah, it just, it was such an actually like sad, genuinely like one of the saddest moments of my life filmed on camera. And I was like, I just don't know if I want that out there, you know? So I had been telling Chelsea, I was like, I just can't even like watch that footage. I don't know if I'll ever post it. I just don't think I can. Like, maybe I'll tell people it didn't work the first time.
Well, it's also kind of like reliving it if you post it as well.
Yeah. And it really wasn't that long ago either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
It's not like it's been like a year and I'm over it, you know? Like, that was still a very hard thing. And so, yeah. But I just felt like this is just a part of the journey. Like, this first transfer failing, that is just real life. Like, it sucks so bad. And I think going into it too, I was like, oh, I want to show everyone that IVF can be, you can still live your best life and like give hope to people. And then literally I'm like sobbing every day in the video. I'm like, okay, I have been humbled.
Plot twist.
Yeah, I've been severely humbled. So
yeah,
I had this moment where I was like, I feel like I should post it and I want to. I feel comfortable enough. And so, but after I published it, I was like, I was just so, I knew everyone thought it worked because everyone was like messaging me being with, because I've been posting the whole journey on YouTube and people, I kind of left on a cliffhanger. People were like, I just know it's good news. I'm so excited. I was like, oh gosh, they're going to be like devastated. And yeah, when I posted, I was so like touched by truly the love and the support that I got. even though it wasn't shared in real time, like, I want you guys to know that that meant the absolute world to me. And, like, I literally cried for, like, 2 days after posting it. I was just, like, and not sad cries, like, happy, just, like, oh,
connection,
my gosh.
Yeah.
People are so nice, so thoughtful. And, like, I just couldn't be more grateful for that community. So thank you guys so much for sharing love on just, like, every part of this whole process. But yeah, so I think at this point, everyone's probably caught up. I don't know how much I shared in the final episode of the thing. I haven't actually edited it fully together yet because we're recording this a few days prior. But
oh my gosh, so much.
Yeah.
I know. I'm glad you posted it. I feel like there's probably so many people, too, that are going through either that specific thing or something similar of, like, you know, disappointment, grief, loss, whatever, like, that are experiencing similar emotions, that it's, like, very comforting for people to watch that. And it was so well. I was like, I commented on your Instagram. I'm like, how are you making this look aesthetic? Like the needles and the
needles,
literally all
please.
Of it. The doctor's office.
Just
like
the low
so
exposure.
Aesthetic.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
No, I was genuinely
very well documented.
Thank you. And Leif helped me edit it together. And he's just so good at that. And it was cool to be able to like go through that process together and do something that we love together, which is like filming and editing something and kind of telling a story. Like it felt special to put that together. Something that I think, there were a few things that I did not expect about sharing all of that, genuinely. I think it'd be silly to be like, I didn't know people would be so nice. Like, yeah. I knew people would be very supportive and kind. I feel like we have such an amazing community on this podcast, on all of it. I always feel like I have such great people that are always just so nice. So I knew people would be nice. But I think what I didn't expect was, like, I thought maybe that it would resonate the most with people who are going through infertility or who are like about to do IVF or who have just done IVF. Like, I thought that that's kind of like who I had in my mind. Like, this is who this is for, is like other girls who are, or other families or people who are like experiencing these very raw emotions. But of course, I'm gonna cry. I literally cry the most over like happy, sweet things than even sad things, is what I realized. But I didn't expect, like, first of all, I got a lot of messages from IVF babies, from people who were born, their parents did IVF to conceive them. And I got so many messages being like, I'm so emotional watching this because I did not know what my parents went through to like bring me to this earth, you know? And I had never even thought about that. I was like, oh my gosh, that's...
I didn't even know it's been around that long.
No, it has. Like, there's people in their 20s, you know, that follow me that were born from IVF. And so they were like, this was so crazy to watch, knowing that like my parents did this, like they did all these shots and stuff to bring me here. And then on the flip side, I had a lot of like older women messaging me that were like in their 50s or their 40s or whatever, maybe beyond. I don't know how long IVF actually, I think it's been around for
like the 70s,
quite a
or
long
80s.
Time. Yeah, like 70s or 80s, I think. But they were just messaging me like words of encouragement and being like, I did IVF and like this is bringing back so many emotions for me.
Yeah.
And I just felt like so connected to women in general through this whole process. Like any woman, whether you're pregnant or not, I had girls who were like 17 or 18 messaging me and be like, I'm literally in high school and I'm like sobbing watching this because I don't know. I think just like as women, we just go through a lot with our bodies, with fertility, with periods, with anything. And I felt very, very connected and just like empowered to share. Oh my gosh, I knew I should have gotten tissues. All of that experience, and to have so many women just like in my corner was like, yeah, just really, really cool. And I guess something I didn't expect, like, again, I kind of had tunnel vision of like, this is for other girls going through infertility. And I didn't realize it would like make an impact to younger people and older people and people who have done IVF and people who haven't. And I don't know. It was really special.
No, it's very, that's beautiful. I feel like it's very inspiring too, to like watch you go through that, even in the video. Obviously, I saw it in real life as well, but seeing the video is like a whole different thing because you see so much of like the inner thoughts and feelings and emotions. And so I feel like for women specifically, it's like you were saying, we all go through like such just hard things physically. And we all like, you were a representation of like just like taking it on the chin and just like being like brave and just like, okay, this sucks. Like I'm feeling everything, but I'm just like, I have no choice but to just like keep going. So it is very like, makes you feel connected. Even if you haven't, like I haven't gone through IVF, obviously, or like IUI or anything like that, but it still makes you feel like inspired to just be like, okay, I'm just going to like push through. Things are hard and it's just life, but there's always a little bit of hope sometimes. And even when there's not, like you just keep going.
Yeah. you guys.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Guys, it is officially a new year, and that means new opportunities to make connections. But when it comes to dating, it can be tough to put yourself out there and know where to start. I feel like, especially in today's day and age, it's almost overwhelming the amount of places you can go to, you know, date and look for people. And all you need to know is that you need Hinge, the dating app designed to be deleted. Hinge is the perfect dating app to use in the new year because it really allows you to go beyond the surface, express your personality, and meet people who are on the same page. When I was a wedding photographer and I shot weddings all the time, so often, I cannot tell you the amount of couples that met from a dating app. And it really restored my faith in just being able to actually meet someone online and they actually are an amazing match for you. So I know that this can be so helpful. And also, when we have done our shows, our What We Said Live shows, we always talk about dating at our shows. You know we got to. You know we got to read some shocking dating stories. And we'll always ask people, like, what's the best dating app? And pretty much every time, actually, I think every single time without fail, the audience would, as an accumulation, be like, Hinge, Hinge, and be yelling that to us. So Hinge is the one.
Also, if you already have Hinge, go and refresh your profile, okay? This is the perfect time. It's the new year, new you. Go answer some new prompts, put something new in your profile, put, like, you know, a cute little New Year's Eve photo up there of you looking hot and, you know, fun and exciting. And maybe you'll find the love of your life this year or whatever you're looking for. Also, just so you know, if you're ever hesitant about saying, like, oh, we met on a dating app, like, you don't want to get on a dating app because what if you meet the love of your life, you fall in love, you get married, and then you're like, well, I don't have to say, you know, that we met on a dating app. Do you know how many times you're going to have to answer that actual question? Probably 5 times in your life of people like, how did you meet? So it's not that big of a deal. Just if you're looking for something, go ahead and hop on Hinge. Manifest the dating experience you want this year. Download Hinge and find someone worth deleting the app for.
That's something I mentioned. I don't know if it's in the, well, at this point, everything's come out, I guess. In one of my episodes, I was like, doing another transfer, I was like saying to other women, if they've gone through a failed transfer, I was like, I want you to know how brave it is to, like, just keep trying, because you obviously don't really have a choice. Like, if you want a family and you suffer from infertility, it's like, I guess you can just give up. And sometimes maybe that's fair. Like, you just, you're done. And that's, I get it. But I think, like, you know, if you have more embryos and you're just like, all right, it's time for another transfer, it's like, it's so brave because you know there's no guarantee.
Yeah.
And it's,
and now you know how bad it hurts.
Yeah. And you know how bad, you know, you're setting yourself up for, like, either the happiest moment or the worst moment. And you have no idea what's in store and you're just doing it because you have to or you want to or whatever. And yeah, I was so, like, truly humbled going through this process, because not that I thought it was going to be easy at all, but I just have always had this, like, I don't know what it is, but just kind of this mindset of, like, toughness of just, like, you know, things are hard. You just have to, you know, people always have it worse. Just, like, buck up and do it. And I think this like whole process just literally brought me to rock bottom, to where I was like, okay, like sometimes things are just so hard and you just have to be like, yeah, surrender and and just be like, my life like hurts right now. This sucks. And I'm like mad. And I don't know, you just got to keep going. And but like there, you're allowed to have moments of weakness. I guess that's what I was realizing, is like there are just so many moments of weakness in this process. What I perceived as weakness, I guess, yeah, of just being like literally hopeless. And yeah, I don't know. There's so much I could say, obviously. I feel like now I understand. Again, I was like, oh, I want to be the example that IVF doesn't have to be so hard. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that wasn't what I realized it was hard, but I also realized that it was very rewarding. Mm-hmm. And that even, I will say, weirdly, I told Leif this, like, when we were going into our second transfer and we didn't even have results yet of our test. Like, we didn't know if anything would work next time. And I was like, I know this sounds insane, but like, I feel so like fulfilled doing IVF. Like, mm-hmm, even though I don't know if anything's nothing's guaranteed and I don't know if it'll ever work, like going to the doctor's office, it feels like I'm like moving forward,
mm-hmm,
in life, and I'm doing something hard and I'm trying really hard. And it's like, it's good to just do that in life, to try new things, to try hard at something, to fail, to get up and go again. Like, mm-hmm, I think it just, it strengthens you so much. So yeah, weirdly, even when it was failing, I was like, I feel very fulfilled and rewarded, like going through a very hard thing and continuing to just do it.
Yeah, that makes, I think, a lot of sense, probably to a lot of people too. Like, I feel that way about, obviously not, I can't relate to that specifically, but about a lot of things that you think if it's hard, you're failing. It's like, oh, if this is hard and I'm not like so tough, then I'm failing and I'm not good at this. But sometimes the reason it is, you are so tough, is because it is so hard and you are letting yourself cry and feel sad and complain and, you know, do whatever it is that you have to do to get through it. It's like, sometimes that is the most beautiful and rewarding things are the hardest things.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of goes into just motherhood as well. It's like, mm-hmm, a lot of time I was seeing this TikTok and it was like, this girl, she's like, so I'm thinking about having kids and I'm really excited. And like, I've heard it's just so fulfilling. She's like, yes, like the girl, she's had kids. She's like, yes, you should do it. It's amazing. It's literally the best thing I've ever done. She's like, yeah, but I've also heard horror stories. She's like, yeah, it's really horrifying. Like, it's actually so scary. She's like, wait, which one is it? She's like, yeah, like it's both. Like, it's just both. And that's why, like, when things are so hard and the reward is so good.
Yeah, definitely. It is. It's all of it. It's all of it combined. And yeah, I feel like just getting older, it's like, I don't know, just again, even though I, and we'll get into all the happy stuff and all the good stuff, but it's like, even though I obviously got the result we wanted, we're so like beyond just excited, grateful, happy, all of those things. Like, this past year was a very heavy year, just in general, like, yeah, with other things as well. And it was just a really hard year. So I feel like, and it was
hard to keep the faith.
Yes. And just months and months and months of fertility treatments kind of just takes your normal life away. I think it makes it hard to just have your normal routine. Like, there would be weeks on end that I couldn't exercise. Like, you know, after a transfer, they're like, don't exercise at all for a few weeks. And
don't even get up.
Yeah. Yeah, for 5 days. So I just feel like I spent so much time like very stagnant and not able to do things that I wanted to do, but I knew I was making a sacrifice for something greater. And again, it's so hard. I have so much like empathy for anyone going through IVF, because it is so hard that you are going through such a big sacrifice of your time, your energy, your money, your body, everything. Mm-hmm. And you don't know if it is going to work.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard. So yeah, just this whole past year, like majority of my year was spent doing IVF, and I didn't post about any of it in real time. I remember we had to record a podcast like very soon after my failed transfer. I don't remember which episode, but, and I was just like, in a sense, I feel like the podcast was kind of my escape from a lot of it. Like, I still felt like I could have fun and, you know, be myself on the podcast. But yeah, it's hard to have a very forward facing job as well. On one end, it's, my job was the best case scenario because I have very flexible hours. I'm my own boss. But it's like, you know, there'd be a week straight where I'm just like crying every day. So just having like a really hard time, and it's like, okay, you know, this
do
this
a mascara.
Like this deal is due. This is due. You got to get up and do like, we got to batch podcast episodes. And it's like, whew, like being forward facing and having to bring, I feel like I always have like a very lighthearted attitude. And so to try and bring that energy when you're like very down is also hard, but I don't know. I'm very proud of myself. I will say, going through this whole thing, like even watching back the footage, I still like, even after my failed transfer, it was like a few days later. I took like 2 days off of filming after that, 'cause I was just like, I can't. And then I think it was like 2 days after, 3 days after, I was like watching back the footage and I was like just making jokes still. And like, I don't know. It just gave me a lot of like empowerment and confidence to be like, I just went through like something that really just broke my spirit, but I was still like getting up and getting ready and like making a joke. And I don't know.
Kept. Yeah. We're still yourself.
Yeah. Or at least tried to be. So, and not that that's necessary. Like if you're going through something hard, you absolutely deserve to not be strong and be yourself and just literally lay around and complain. And like after my transfer that failed, which again, I'm sorry to keep harping on that. I just feel like that was such a massive part of the journey because it was like this huge buildup and then just the worst news. Like,
and you had, again, you talked about this in your video, but just to reemphasize, like you had no reason to think that it wouldn't work, like with your specific situation. Like others, maybe it's even more of a risk. Like maybe this will work, maybe it's not. But you had been so like promised by, I mean, just the situation and your circumstances. Yeah. Like everything was looking perfect.
Everything was looking really good. So I think I just had really high hopes.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was just a massive part of the journey. I also hadn't told anyone. I didn't tell Chelsea that I was transferring. I didn't tell my mom. I didn't tell anyone. Beth knew because she had to know for like work stuff. I was like, I have to go on bed rest. Like I have to tell her. I literally cannot film these days, whatever. So Beth knew. Weirdly, Haley Rawl knew. Literally, I've met her twice. I was like, you're literally the only person that knows that I'm transferring because she did IVF and she was in town and we went to lunch and I don't have any super close people to me who had done IVF, but I was like doing these shots that were hurting really bad. And I was like, I need to ask her like what, if it's normal or if there's anything I could do, like if there's anything she knows about to make it better. And so I told her because when you're familiar with IVF, you know, when you're doing certain shots, like you're about to transfer. So anyway, she knew, very few people knew. And I was like, so that was another element to it is I was so excited to surprise everyone with the good news. And then it was not good news. And so then I had to surprise everyone with bad news. Be like, oh, I did a transfer. And I was like, oh, and I'm like, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. So that was just, that was a rough time. I do want to like move on from that. But I do feel like that is a very, like, it's not realistic because a lot of people, it works first try for IVF. But that does happen sometimes. And so that's the truth of the situation. And I hate that it is. Like, I hate that. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20. And I feel like, obviously, because I had that experience, the second transfer working, I think, was even more, like, just special.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, the best news ever.
Yeah. 100%.
So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I feel like when you told me that it failed, it was, like, and not to make this about me by any chance, but to add my perspective into it, it was like so jarring in so many ways because I had literally just found out I was pregnant like the day before that you told me. So it was like I was already in shock from that. And then I had no idea. And you told me and I was just like so devastated times two than I would have regularly been because we would have been like even
literally
closer.
1 week apart. Like,
yeah,
it was so painful. Because
so it just made it sting. And I was like, I feel like I didn't even process emotions for like a week after that. I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know like how to feel. I genuinely have no idea how to feel. Like I feel so sad. I'm so like keeping this little bit of hope that like it will work soon. Maybe, I don't know. Like, but that's all I can look forward to because I don't even know how to like handle this.
Yeah.
And that's like a fraction, I feel like, of what you even went through. So I can't even imagine.
Yeah. It was insane timing. Like,
yeah. Horrible.
Horrible timing. Yeah. I feel like it's such a testament, though, like this entire process. We will move on to happy things, I swear.
It's like just 50 minutes for the last, like, 10 minutes.
It's just such a testament to me.
But this is
me.
The stuff that people have not seen. It's like they know nothing about this, you know. Right. This is what they've been missing out on.
Yeah. I feel like it's such a
They're like, yeah, I'm glad.
They're like, sheesh. Of like friendship though. And like,
yeah,
my friendships with people, which I mentioned in my YouTube video, like a few of my best friends and Chelsea being one of them, like told me they were pregnant very soon after my failed transfer. And it's like, I have always tried so hard through my entire fertility journey to be like, I don't know even how to word this, but like, I would always see fertility content and people being like, here's what not to say. Like, don't ever tell someone going through infertility, like, oh, you should just relax. Or there's certain buzz phrases or things that people are like, do not say this to mm-hmm. people going through infertility. On one hand, I completely agree. It's like, there's certain things, just please, in general, please don't speculate that someone's pregnant. Please don't ask if yeah. they're pregnant. Please don't ask when they're, it's just, it's very personal. And I do agree to an extent. But I think I've always tried to also be like, it's not everyone's job to validate my feelings perfectly. We're all going through hard things. We all have really hard things in our life. It's not just me, that it's not my world and everyone's living in it where it's like, you know, my infertility is the most important thing and you need to like walk on eggshells around me. I've never wanted any of my friends to feel like that. Like they can't talk about being pregnant. They can't talk about, oh, I'm having a baby shower. Like I don't want them to feel uncomfortable around me just because I can't get pregnant. And I've really, really tried to bring that energy and like always make that very clear. Like, please. Like, I want to be a part of your life still. I don't care if you talk about this. And I really have, like, that's not even just, I'm not saying, I've tried to put a front up. Like, I've really tried to be still involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, throwing my friends baby showers and doing things for them and not just, like, turning a blind eye because I'm struggling with something. But I think that was the first time, like, when it was, like, a lot of people are getting pregnant around me and I had just had that really hard experience. Like, that was one of the first times where I was, like, oh, like I feel bad for myself. Like
yeah.
I am genuinely so sad and mad. And like, you know, I always am like, oh, don't play the victim. But I was like, this feels so unfair. Like I'm so upset. And I don't know. I just feel so grateful because my friends completely like validated and understood that. And I don't know. No one was like immature making it about them, even yeah. though like they had a right to, because, you know, like when you were pregnant, you're like, I want to tell you this. And you don't have to react a certain way. Like, you were so just, yeah.
Yeah, people are like, can I see the video of you telling Daisy?
No,
like,
absolutely not. Absolutely.
There
not.
Was no video. It was devastating.
There was
Trust
no video.
Me. The timing was horrible. It's just,
absolutely not.
Yeah. That will not, that doesn't exist. So,
yeah, I don't know. People just, like, my friends were just very, like, gentle with me, I feel like, and were like, it just showed me. And I guess this makes sense with the age we're at. But it's like, I just feel like everyone in my life is very like mature at this point to where it's
yeah.
not like, I don't know, you just get it. And like,
yeah.
you know what not to say. And like,
yeah.
you, everyone's just been very like understanding about everything. And all of my friends, like, I remember I was texting one of my friends about it. I told her, I was like, I'm sorry. Like, we were supposed to do something. I was like, I just had a failed transfer and I'm just like not in the space. And she literally was like, I don't know, just very validating. And then was like, I said, I just feel like complaining, honestly. Like, I just feel so upset. And she's pregnant. And she's like, no, F the bright side. Like, she was like, you don't have to like think on the bright side. Like, just be in your feelings. And anyway, I'm literally a mess.
What a great day to record.
What a great day.
Our makeup just smearing down our face.
Whenever I talk about my friends, I literally get the most emotional because I truly am so grateful. And I feel like a lot of people don't have that type of friendship in their life where it's like
yeah.
so aware, so mature, just truly can get through anything. Like when we were in St. Bart's, I was not
yeah.
well also kind of because
yeah.
I had just, it had failed pretty recently.
Well, it was like the ultimate just, I don't know. It's like we're
it's
best friends.
Joke.
We're just forced. Yeah, we were just like, this is a sick joke. Like I was feeling, we both were just feeling like this is just like, you should be pregnant. Like, you should.
So
this should
I
be
had
your...
planned. Like, I had planned. I knew I was going to be pregnant in St. Bart's. Knew.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing. I wasn't. And I was like, oh, I'll be about this many weeks. Like, so hopefully I won't be sick by then or whatever. And like, and then basically it was reversed. Like,
yeah.
Chelsea was that, like, a little
yeah.
bit further than that. But like, basically that amount of weeks. And I still wasn't pregnant. And it was just like, I remember like crying around the beach. And I was
yeah.
just like, yeah. I was like, I know that you're my best friend because I still like love you so much.
Yeah.
And I'm like still happy that you're pregnant. But yeah.
Yeah, it just like sucks to be like from again. Not to make this about me in any form or fashion.
You're not, but, it's fine.
But it's like to be the person who like loves you so much and like wants that for you so bad and has been wanting that like for you as long as you have been wanting that. And then to feel like the person who I'm like, I feel like I don't even want to be around you. I don't even want to like make you face this because I'm literally the person who is the closest to you. And I'm like making you think about it, face it. Like it's just inevitable. So it feels like, oh my gosh, now I'm the bad guy in your story. And I'm like, but I'm also trying, like, I want to be the ultimate, like, person supporting you. But it feels so twisted and dark. And we were just, like, sitting on the beach just like, this is crazy. Like, this sucks, but we can still be friends and, like, try to navigate this together. And I don't know, just, I feel like with, when your friends go through, like, when you're going through this, though, at the same time, it's like, there's no part of me, at least, and I'm sure this is how your other friends feel as well. It's like, there's no burden. It's never a burden. Like when you get older, you just have people in your life that you love. And I don't believe that they're just all supposed to be there to make your life easier and to be like the perfect, you know, side character in your story. It's like, it is what it is. It doesn't make, like, I remember when even I told you, you're like, I just like hate that it makes this sad. Like, I hate that, like, you can't just tell me and be excited. And it's like, obviously, yeah, best case scenario. But at the same time, it just is what it is. And I would never change it. That's just how it is when you have people you love in your life. It makes your life meaningful, those relationships. And there's no part of me that's like, oh, I just wish that like I didn't have a friend who was going through infertility. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I don't care. That's just, it's just part of what it is. And there's no, I'd much rather have you as a best friend and have this relationship than be like, oh, someone who's not that I can tell them in like a really excited way. It's right. Like it's such a, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah. No, that's, I'm glad you added in that perspective because I would literally, yeah, it's like I just mentioned, I would literally be like, I feel bad for you as well because now I feel like I'm dulling down a very exciting, like, you know, I feel like it's my fault if it's not 100% exciting, like,
yeah,
or, you know, us having a podcast together and people knowing outwardly that I'm like struggling with something. And then, you know, I never want that comparison either way. Like, oh, that's so sad for JC. It's like, I don't want that attention in that way. Like, you know, which has made me at times regretful, like before I got pregnant and it was successful, like I would sometimes be regretful that I ever shared like, oh, I've been suffering through this.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, every time one of my friends is pregnant, someone's like messaging me like, I'm thinking of you. And I'm like, it's so nice. And maybe I'm just the one who feels like a burden, but I'm like, I just don't want that type of pity or sympathy. I just feel bad. Like, I don't want to like dole down someone else's very exciting experience in their life.
Yeah.
So it's good to know that maybe I haven't been as much of a burden as I feel like sometimes.
No, when you love somebody, I mean, even if it's not infertility, there's so many different other things. It's like when you have friends or people you love that go through something, I feel like, I don't know, it can be a thing nowadays where people are like, if you're not serving me and you're not making my life a million times better, like I'm cutting you out, which, you know, to an extent, we've hounded on that topic a million times. But at the same time, I just, as I've gotten older, it's just like the people who mean something to me and that I love and that I cherish our relationship, I don't care what they're going through, like I'm going to be there for them. And that's part of being their friend. That's part of being in their life is supporting them through these things. And even if it's not so easy for me, that doesn't matter. That's not what life, it's kind of like you were saying, before with things being hard, it's not
life
bad that it's hard.
Life isn't about having everything be perfectly your way and everyone, existing to please you, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you don't have to turn away from them all the time. I mean, if it's for your own mental health at some point, obviously, yes. But you don't have to turn away from them just because it's not making your life picture perfect.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely. And I think that's like, that's what I've just been feeling so grateful for is that mindset that I feel like all of my friends share. That's just feels very mature and like unconditionally loving someone. I feel like we all reciprocate that same energy for each other. And so, yeah, I'm just like, I am literally so grateful. I don't know what I would have done without just these close people in my life because not that you need constant like validation, but I mean, it's nice to have people in your life who are like, yeah, you're allowed to complain and you're allowed to be sad about these things, and just kind of have permission to do that without, again, feeling like a burden or feeling like just completely invalidated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
We can move on to good news.
Let's check the makeup.
Yeah.
Let's check the liner.
Now we have to worry about what we look like. A layered bonus.
Literally.
We've never had to care what we look like when we podcast. We're just trolls.
What an episode to start it off with.
What an episode.
This podcast is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We have been using it for so many different business ventures, side hustles, and it's just the easiest way to make and create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your terms. It's very user-friendly, which is my favorite thing about Squarespace, is that, you know, if you don't know anything about technology and if you don't know anything about coding or how to make a website pretty and how to, you know, put a menu in the side, Squarespace makes it very, very easy. And they have so many different product features that can just make a custom website perfect for your needs.
They have an asset library, so you can upload, organize, and access all your content from one place. With the new asset library, you're able to manage all your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform, which is very, very convenient and efficient. You can sell custom merch very easily and create a passive income stream that engages your audience and scales your brand. Also, you can obviously have an online store, sell your products just online, whether it's a digital product or a physical product. I have sold, you guys know, the JC Marie preset days. I sold them all through Squarespace and it was so, so efficient. And I feel like it was just, easy when I didn't really know much about how to sell things online. It just made it very, very convenient and awesome. They also have a bunch of templates, like Chelsea mentioned, that can make your website really beautiful and look super professional. But again, they just make it easy for you. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/whatwesaid to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/whatwesaid to save 10%. Go check it out.
Okay, I don't know about you guys, but Valentine's Day is always the holiday that sneaks up on me the most, that I forget about. I don't know if it's because it's the beginning of the year or what, but I also love Valentine's Day. And you know, whether you're in a relationship or single, you get to celebrate Valentine's Day, okay? Whether you're getting a gift for a partner or doing something fun with them, or you're getting yourself a gift, I really believe that we all deserve to celebrate, you know? So that's why we love Macy's. Okay, Macy's has literally so many options specifically for Valentine's Day. They have a little gift finder feature, okay? You can find amazing gifts at any price, even $25 and under. You can check out these gift ideas at macys.com/gift finder. And this is helpful. Like, if you know who you're looking for something for, but you don't know what to get them, they have such good inspo because they have gifts for like cozy nights in, date night out. Again, you can treat yourself for your Galentine's and those who like finer things. So I actually went on their site and went to their gift finder and I went to For Him because I personally feel like guys are so hard to shop for. Like, if I'm getting myself a gift, I can think of lots of things I would want. If I'm getting a gift for a Galentine, a friend, I feel like I can also think of really good things. But for guys, sometimes I'm just stumped. So I went on their gift finder thing and I actually saw that they had some items that, first of all, I know Leif would really love. Even just like a good pack of socks. They had actually his YSL cologne that he wears literally every single day. That's super, super good. So they have lots of really great options. Again, it is macys.com/gift finder. That is macys.com/gift finder. Go check it out.
Well, let's get to the happy stuff.
Yes.
So tell us what happened. So you did the second transfer.
Mm-hmm.
You found out.
Yes, we found out. So
you took a test or... They called, as if I don't know. I'm like, what happened?
Thank you for being my biggest fake hype girl these past, on all my videos. Like, she knows the outcome. She knows. She's like, I love you. I'm so sorry. This is your reality. I'm like, slay. You're really making it.
I mean, to an extent, it's not a lie because it's like, I'm going back with you that time. But then at the same time, it's nice because if I didn't know it worked out, like, it would be 10 times more. I was like, texting. I'm like, this is the saddest video I've ever seen. Like, if I didn't know the reality now, I would literally not be able to finish it.
I know. So yeah, the second transfer we did, we have a little bit more information. Like I mentioned, we did that test and it kind of told us some things that were like, basically, my doctor was like, you're someone who needs one extra day of this certain shot that you're taking, and it will be better timing for the embryo to hopefully stick. So I did have a little bit more hope, like, but I was terrified by the hope I had.
It's almost worse if you have more hope.
Because we had, which was my best case scenario, I was really scared I would take that, do that testing, and they'd be like, oh, I don't know, like everything looked normal. And I was just going to be like, great, we're just going, you know, back into a transfer, not knowing anything. But because we had a little more information and my doctor felt a little more confident the second time, and he was like, you know, I think this is what the issue was. So I felt like we were correcting something. I did have a little more hope, maybe even than the, I don't know, mm-hmm. but I was so cautious. I was so confidence, cautiously, maybe. Yeah, I was just like, okay, I'm optimistic, but I am terrified because I know how that felt last time. So I don't want to get my hopes too high. So we waited until like, I think it was 8 days or 9 days after the transfer this time to take a test at home, to take a pregnancy test. So there's something called the 2-week wait. It's really like 10 days at my clinic, at least, where you get the embryo transferred into your uterus and then you basically wait 10 days to figure out if you're pregnant. And then you can take a test at home and it will pretty much, it will tell you if you're, you know, it will say pregnant, not pregnant, or have the two lines, whatever. But that doesn't, it's not 100% because you still have to go to the doctor and they test your blood and then they confirm it there. But it's like, if you're getting a positive pregnancy test at home, you are pregnant. It's just a matter of like, is it going to be a viable pregnancy? Is it going to stick, all that? So you're not totally in the clear. But obviously, I've never seen a positive pregnancy test in my entire life. I mean, I've been taking them often for 4 years. And so I was terrified to take this test. So was Leif. We're like, we don't even want to do it. Like, we're like, should we even? Like, maybe we just shouldn't. Maybe we should just wait for
them to call.
I never
want to know.
Like, I don't even want to know.
Let's wait till I'm 9 months pregnant.
Literally. Let's wait for 5 months to see if my stomach grows. Like, yeah. I just was like, I am so terrified. But we're like, we got to do it. So we took the test. And I have footage of that. And I posted it probably for sure on YouTube, maybe on TikTok or something. I don't know. But yeah, we took the test and it was positive. And I had said, just like I had the audacity to think I maybe wouldn't cry in this episode, I had said, I don't even think I'll cry when I finally am pregnant. I don't even think I'll cry. I will just be so like in shock. I won't even be able to register the situation. The second I saw that it was positive, I was like sobbing. Mm-hmm. And I could not believe it. Leif was so happy. We were just like, it was just the best night ever. We were like, oh my gosh, it finally happened. It worked. Like, we couldn't believe it. But I still was like, but we still need to go to the doctor and figure everything out. Like, again, I'm not going to. I was very, very happy and excited. And I had a really good feeling. But I was like, we still need to make sure everything. So I don't know if I actually posted this on my YouTube video, but I will give the exclusive tea here that you've maybe seen on like social media. I've seen a lot of videos of people getting a call from their doctor being like, you're pregnant, and like the person sobbing. And I was so excited to like get that call from my doctor that's like, you're pregnant, and just be so happy. But I went and got my blood tested, and he called us later that day and he was like, hey guys, like the test was positive. Like, you are pregnant. He's like, but we're not out of the woods yet. Your level was like a little lower than I like to see it of HCG. But that being said, it really matters more that the number just doubles in 2 days. Like, I just need that number to go up and rise appropriately to make sure it's like everything's good. And he's like, it'll probably be fine. But I just want to let you know, like, sobbed the whole day. I was like, great. I felt like it wasn't that moment of like, I'm pregnant finally. Like, I just was terrified. I was like, great. Why is my level lower? Mm-hmm. It's probably going to, you know, is it not going to work out? Is it going to be whatever? A chemical pregnancy? Is it something else? Like, I was just.
Yeah.
So for 2 straight days, again, I was like, not well. I was just so terrified because it's like, you have to wait 2 days and then test. And then you have to wait for them to call you and tell you if it rose or not, if it doubled. So I was so scared. And then I got my blood drawn again 2 days later and they called and they're like, yep, it doubled. Like, everything's great. So then I was crying of happiness. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy. And they're like, come at 5 weeks and we'll make sure there's a gestational sac. So then I had that on my mind. I was like, okay, hope there's a sac.
Yeah.
And I went in for that appointment and they're like, yep, there is. Like, come back in 2 weeks at 7 weeks and 2 days or something. And we can see the heartbeat at that point. But then I was like, okay, I hope there's a heart. I was just, I feel like the bar was constantly moving. I thought that when I found out I was pregnant, I would be just like all of my worries would be gone. I just felt like, oh my gosh, finally a release. Like I've been wanting this. We're good. And I felt like it wasn't like that at all. I just, I was so happy, but I was so terrified because of how hard we'd worked for this moment that like, you know, I would go to the ultrasound and I was seeing horror stories on my TikTok every day. I'd be like, you know, you just see people going through like sad stuff. And I was just like, oh my gosh. So then we went at 7 weeks. Heartbeat was strong and good. And that definitely gave me a lot more confidence. I feel like at that point I was like, okay, I think this is maybe real now. And at like literally 6 weeks, I already started getting sick. So I felt sick every day. Honestly, at 5 weeks, I was already kind of like
feeling
a little weird. I was like, ooh, I feel like kind of like different. I feel a little weird. And then at 6 weeks, I was like, I could still live my normal life. But I remember being like, okay, I feel a little different. And then at 7 weeks, it just kept progressing basically. And I don't want to go too much into this, but I mean, there's really nothing to get into because I've been on my couch for a month straight because my first trimester was extremely sick.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I would be for some reason because I thought God would grant me an easy pregnancy. Oh, not the burp. I'm having some indigestion as well.
Yeah.
I just was like, oh, I'm sure I'll have a great, easy, like it will all be so great because, you know, I worked so hard to get here. And then I was throwing up all day every day. So I'm finally starting to feel a little bit better as of like this week. I feel like a normal person again where I can like
that's beautiful.
Do some stuff at least, like go on a walk and whatever. But I found new appreciation for Chelsea going through the sickness. Sick. Because not that I didn't feel bad for you before, because I definitely
you just
did.
Don't know.
But you don't know the extent of it. And like with any of these things.
Yeah.
If you haven't gone through IVF, you don't get it. If you haven't gone through the first trimester of pregnancy being sick, you don't get it.
Yeah.
It's just how it is. And yeah, I found new empathy unlocked because I was like, oh, I get what you were saying about all these different things. Like symptoms she would explain to me. I'm like, oh, that's so weird. And then when I was experiencing it, I was like, oh, wow.
And when someone talks about it, you're like, oh, that sucks. And then when you're experiencing, you're like, oh my gosh.
Like, my life is actually, will never be the same.
I know. It's so crazy. Yeah. It's, half of me was like, oh my gosh. Like, because I know how horrible it is to be that sick. It's like, oh, I feel so bad for you. And then half of me was like, oh my gosh, someone knows how I feel.
Yeah.
Someone knows how horrible it is. Like, knows that I wasn't just being a baby.
Literally.
No, it's rough.
It really knocked me on my butt. So, yeah, quite literally. And that's why you probably haven't seen me post anything in real time for a month because
it's impossible.
It's so hard to film cute. I feel like any of my energy went to absolutely necessary things these past few months.
Mm-hmm.
Like our podcast, you know, we had to batch a bunch of episodes for the holidays.
Cut out a lot of deep breathing.
Yes. Oh my gosh, the deep breathing that we'd have to cut out.
The sighs.
Because I was constantly out of breath and sick. But again, the podcast was kind of like a little bit of a...
Yeah, it always lifts your mood.
Yes, which is awesome. But
and then afterwards, you feel even worse.
You feel so sick after
talking for an hour.
But yeah, it's like I hesitate even. I want to be real about the situation, obviously. Like, it really has been so hard to be so sick and feel like, I think on top of the IVF, like already felt like it took me out for months, like where I was just always sore and kind of feeling nauseous and feeling hormonal and all this stuff. And then I was like, again, I was like, oh, once I'm pregnant. I don't know what I thought. Like, oh, I'll feel better. It'll be good then.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just like, oh, no, I'm throwing up all day. So I felt like
I've just been a break.
Yeah, I've just been in a not really myself, I guess. I feel like in months.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like now I'm starting to get my spirit back. Just quite literally my energy and my like zest for life.
Yeah.
So that's great going into a new year, honestly.
No, for sure. That's the beauty of it all. The littlest bout of energy. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm the luckiest girl in the world.
For sure. And you feel so like much this. More motivation to do things and just literally do anything. I don't know. So I'm feeling good.
Yeah. It's crazy that everyone knows now.
I know.
So exciting.
It's so crazy.
Makes it like really real, I feel like, when the internet knows. Weirdly enough, it's like when you tell your friends and stuff, it doesn't even matter if you have a ton of followers. I feel like anytime you post something on the internet, it just makes it real. And then so many people know and it's like, oh, I don't have to like hide at all.
I know. That's what it feels like to me, is like the just not being able to be fully honest about how I'm feeling. And the reason I wanted to, I thought about pushing it a few weeks. I was like, oh, maybe I'll announce like at the end of January. But I'm like, literally for my own sake, I want to announce sooner so that I can be actually honest because it's been, I feel like because I wasn't sharing IVF, then I wasn't sharing this. It's like, even though I know that's perfectly, totally fine that I'm doing that and I'm just, and I'm doing it for my mental health as well because I needed some time to like process my own emotions. But I feel like I just haven't been honest in the sense of like
in real
how
time.
I'm feeling in real time. And so I'm like, oh, it feels so good to just be like able to actually, you know, we had all these New Year's episodes prepped like, oh, our new vibe for the year. And I'm like, I feel like I, if it's not, the news is not out. I'm just going to have to hold back so much because I feel like my entire life has changed and it will continue to change this year. This is like a big shift in my life. So I would just have to be like, not lying, but, you know, holding back a ton on all my content still. And so, yeah, now that I'm into the second trimester a bit, I just feel like happy to share the news.
Talk about it. It's exciting.
Yes.
Second trimester bliss.
That's what I heard. And it was supposed to be my fitness era because I have been not, like, my doctor didn't want me to work out in my first trimester, which originally I was like, no, that is so, it's like, you're kidding. Because I had done, I've been doing Pilates, been really consistent with it, and I just wanted to keep it up. And I was so annoyed. And then I was like, quickly, was like, yeah, you know, maybe it's okay.
Darn, I can't work out. Yeah.
I don't think I'm in the mood. So I told Leif second trimester is the fitness era, but there's been no fitness yet. So we'll see when I pick back up on that.
Yeah, it's hard to jump back in. You expect to jump back in. This is how I always feel. I always expect to jump back into where I left off.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, yeah, got to get my headphones on. Let's go for a 3-mile. I'm like, I need to start with, and I have been starting with 10 wall push-ups that make me sore the next day. I'm like, I need to do 10 squats while I'm watching Real Housewives, and that's my workout for the day because my muscle is deteriorated because I was on the couch for months.
It truly is. Again, like all the things you had told me about, you'd be like, oh my gosh, like I literally touch my leg and there's no muscle left. And I'm like, I was like, oh, that sucks. And like now I'm like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. I have no muscle tone anymore. And it's insane how fast it leaves. So it
takes you so long to
days
to
just gone go, in an run instant. Away.
I know.
So I'm excited to, I really feel like hopefully, I'm not trying to put any pressure on myself, but I'm hoping that this month I can kind of get back into like somewhat of a routine and live, you know, more, have some more normalcy. The other thing is that I did.
Even just like walking to the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Bare, quite literally bare minimum.
Doing the laundry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a privilege.
I had to also do IVF shots, like those same shots in kind of like my, they're like intramuscular. They're, I mean, they're kind of intense. And I had to do those every day, twice a day for until I was like 11 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
And so I was also still doing
it's like
IVF
peak sickness
stuff.
Time.
Yeah. And was super nauseous and stuff. So it's just been like a long bout of, I guess, especially for me where I am a very go, go, go type of person. Like Leif was just saying, he's like, it is so weird to just see you on the couch like day after day. He's like, I've never seen that in my life. Like you never just sit on the couch like during the day. And it really was just such a shift from my normal life. Not that I like, don't get me wrong, there's many times when I'm not productive or I'll be sitting on my phone or something, but just to genuinely be like out of commission is just obviously that's no one's real probably normal life for the most part. So it just was like quite the change, but hopefully you can get back into the swing of things very soon.
You will. Once your energy fully, little by little, comes back, you see the light. I feel like that happened for me like a couple weeks ago, like probably like 5 or 6 weeks ago. I was like, little by little every day, I'm like, oh my gosh. And now I've like forgot what it's like to be sick.
It's so crazy.
I'll probably be like, oh my gosh, it wasn't that bad. Yeah. Let's do it again.
I know. Oh my
gosh. But when you're in it, like when I was like in the depths of just like on the couch every day, couldn't eat, throwing up, everything. Couldn't drink water. I had to IV thing in my arm every day. I'm just like, why did I do this to myself? Like,
you're like, I chose this too.
Yeah. And it's awesome. Like, I'm so excited. I feel so guilty because I don't want to feel like I hate this. But if I'm being completely honest with myself, I hate this right now.
It's my friend.
Can't feel the baby moving. Don't have a bump. Like, doesn't even feel like I'm pregnant. And I'm just so sick.
So sick. I know, like nothing to show for it, like nothing rewarding yet, really, in that sense.
Then you go see the heartbeat, you're like, it's all worth
it. I know, literally after every ultrasound or anything, I'd be like, I can do this, like so much. I'd get like a boost of energy and strength. But my friend who also, she did IUIs, she did an IUI to get pregnant, but she was telling me like, She's like, you might, she was asking me if I was sick. We were FaceTiming and I was like, unfortunately, yes. I've been very nauseous 24/7. And she was saying she also was sick. And she's like, you're going to feel like you can't complain because you of your situation. So yeah. Like you literally obviously have been wanting this for so long. She's like, but just so you know, you can. She's
yeah.
like, and again, this is what I'm saying about my friends. I don't know. I would never come on here and just complain the whole time. I am yeah. so literally so beyond grateful that truly every day, even in the depths when I couldn't keep like food down and I was so incredibly sick, I would tell Leif every single day, I would rather this than anything else.
Yeah.
Like I would rather be dealing with this than have gone through another failed transfer. Like I am so grateful. So it really does, I think, in my situation, it maybe even gives me extra, not like strength, but yeah.
motivation
to get through it because I'm like, I wanted this. I chose this. I paid for this. I'm so grateful. So
this was my choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Truly, I feel like it has been so worth it, even through the absolute just being so sick all day, every day. But I am very happy to be seeing a light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot. I feel like I lost my train of thought. I feel like I started on something else. There was a reason I was sharing. And anyway, but yeah, my friend was like, you're still allowed to complain to me if you want. I was like, okay, cool. But yeah, just so many emotions.
I know. Complaining always feels good. I think I was telling you that too.
Yeah.
Like, I feel bad. I can't do anything when I was really sick. I'm like, honestly, complaining is the only thing I need to do. Then I can move on.
True.
The last thing I need is advice. The only thing I need is someone listen to me complain. The second you give me advice, I will never speak to you again.
No. Unless you are like currently in the trenches.
Yeah,
and you're
exactly.
like, oh, use peppermint oil. That helped me a little. It's like, that's the only advice I'm interested in. If you have gone through it or.
Don't tell me to just mentally get over it. And...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has been very humbling the entire process. Honestly, the entire year of 2023 humbled me greatly and also brought the best thing into my life. So I feel like I just have so many thoughts and feelings. I'm trying to think of anything else people would like want to know.
Well, this is a side note, but you, because it's 2024, new year, mm-hmm. and I was just making my vision board for this mm-hmm. year. I was like reflecting on our vision board night. Mm-hmm. And I remember, first of all, I put like a little pregnancy on mine. And I was saying like at the time, like a little pregnant mom. And I was like, at the time I was not ready to be pregnant. I was just like, I can't even think about this, but like maybe this year I will be.
Yeah.
And I remember you were like, this is the first year I'm putting like an ultrasound or
I put, yeah, something. Like a little pregnant belly and an ultrasound on my
thing. Like I'm putting this on my thing. And we were like joking, like, careful, like if you put it on, it's going to happen. And I was just thinking about that, how that was like a whole year ago. And now you are pregnant.
I know.
So that's all it takes.
That's all it takes. Easy enough. No, I
so much work. But I was just thinking about how like cool it is when it does happen. Where you're like, oh, my gosh, I wanted this. And after so much time, it actually did come true.
Yeah. And I feel like, again, even just me saying like, oh, 2023 was like a really hard year. I think, again, people on the outside would look, obviously you're not aware that I'm pregnant until 2024, but like you would look at this year for me and be like, oh my gosh, you bought a house finally. You finally got pregnant. Mm-hmm. Like there were a lot of like loose ends that I felt like were kind of like tied together in 2023. But I think that was proof to me that it's like, but when your mental state is like really rocky or you're just having a really hard time, like it literally does not matter.
If you win the lottery.
If you bought your first house, like it is still, you're still struggling. And so, yeah, I guess just from the outside, like, and again, there were so many moments that past year that like were so beautiful. And it really did feel like, I don't know, kind of like a start of a chapter, but I feel even more like 2024 is like the beginning of like this new life where it's like we will hopefully move into our new house, we will have a baby, like all of these really beautiful things that we've been waiting for so long. So I feel like this year, you know, mm-hmm. I'm
you
feeling
the
fresh
fruits
energy
of your labor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like last year was the grind in a lot mm-hmm. of ways and it felt like it was just constant whatever, but you're right, a lot of things, even I was reflecting as well on my vision board, and I wish I could have said that when we were talking about, but I didn't want to say the news yet, but of things that had come true on our boards and stuff. And that was a huge one, obviously. I had said at the beginning of the year, I was like, this is the first year I'm actually putting a pregnancy test and a thing on my vision board and actually allowing myself to like
want it
and be like, I'm going to get it this year, hopefully. And there was a second there where I was like, oh, I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to put it on my vision board again next year. Like, geez. But yeah, it came true. And I am not in any way saying that it was just because I put on the vision board. That's something.
It's just a little representation of like I'm just letting myself want this.
Want things and feel it.
Yeah.
For sure. I do want to say this, even though I'm kind of contradicting myself because I just said I've always tried to be someone who's like, oh, yeah, you don't have to say the right thing to me just because I'm going through infertility. I will now call a few of you hoes out and tell you what not to say.
Let's have a listen.
Let's have a listen. No, I think just I got a lot of messages like of people when I started sharing IVF that were like, okay, let's back up. I get messages all the time of people saying, I just know you're pregnant, when I definitely have not been pregnant. I was getting messages right after my failed embryo transfer, like when no one knew, but just, you know, and I wasn't posting anything about IVF on social media, of people literally would DM me and be like, I just know you're pregnant. Like, I can tell.
And first I'm like, what? I can tell.
Yeah. First of all, I'm like, cool. Probably because I'm bloated from IVF. Thank you. But yeah, also, respectfully, you do not know that I'm pregnant because I am not pregnant. So I just feel like in general, that's just my new, that's just a little education. I don't know. The thing is, I would give people the benefit of the doubt. I get a lot of these messages just all the time. Like, I just feel like you're pregnant. I can't wait. Like, some people will be so bold and be like, I know you're pregnant. Congratulations. And I'm like,
congratulations.
What? I haven't even started IVF yet. I'm like, what? I'm not pregnant. I've never been pregnant. Like, I get messages like that all the time, and I'm always kind of just like, okay, whatever. But sometimes I'll try and give them the benefit of the doubt because I'm like, maybe they're really young and they're just like not aware of whatever. Not the makeup all over my
sweater. I have like snot on my sleeve.
But I would go to their page, fully like married with children. I'm like, girl,
honey,
we cannot be doing this.
Come on.
You do not speculate. Speculate to your friends, not
exactly
to the person.
Specifically when you know. Or especially if you know that they are going through infertility. That's really beyond.
Don't say that
to anyone in general, though.
Yeah.
It's like, even if they've never said anything about wanting kids, infertility, whatever, like, just don't mention, like, I know you're pregnant.
No, you don't know.
Here's a little tip. You can wait until they tell you or you know. You probably will know. Like, it's very hard for someone to have a baby and then hide it.
Yeah.
It's been done. But you will know at some point, and you... You know, it's better to even put the I knew it on the
right what I was going to say. You know what it's giving? It's giving, this was the hardest secret to keep on the Instagram post. It's like, okay, we get it. You knew this. They were pregnant before everyone else. That's, it's like, I feel
making
like
it about you.
Yeah, people are just trying to be like, I knew it. But I'm like,
that's
not
going to comment on your post. This is the hardest secret I had to keep.
That.
I knew it. I'm just going to have put like a million of them.
I knew it in all caps. I know.
I've known longer than anyone else.
You know, it's just, well, then
I'll just reply to everybody too. Like, I knew, they'll be like, I knew. I'll be like, I knew it longer.
I knew
it first.
I know. I just, and the amount of messages that I also got when I had posted, like, oh, I'm doing my first transfer. They're like, I'm so happy. Like, I know it worked. And I'm like,
you're going to be
very disappointed in a few days when I posted it didn't work. Again, obviously, yes, I am pregnant and everything is all good now. And I'm not trying to like actually be, I know people for the most part have good intentions, but I just feel like especially if you actually don't know the person and do not know anything about them and just randomly DM them, I know you're pregnant. People also were commenting that on my
send it to your
my photos.
If
they'd
you
be
can't
like,
hold
we know
it in.
You're pregnant. And I'm like, and I literally wasn't. I'm like, what?
What are you doing? If you can't hold it in, send it to your friend or write it in your diary.
Yeah. So anyway. That's just a quick little lesson in what
how to talk
say.
To someone with infertility issues 101.
But I also, a lot of people were messaging me like, which maybe I'll post about this soon. They were saying like, I have a friend going through IVF or my sister is doing IVF, whatever. What are some things that I can like put a care package together? Like what would actually be helpful? And I was like, that's a really good thing that I feel like I could obviously speak to having personal experience. So I want to create a little like, just a list of things that I feel like could be helpful.
You start selling care packages. I've turned it into a business.
Literally profits off it. I'm like, you can buy them directly from me. No, but I'll just maybe post on my story or something a list of things I think could be helpful for someone going through IVF. Obviously, there's like nothing specifically that you can really do to make everything better or something.
Yeah.
But it's always nice. I feel like sometimes you feel helpless in these situations when someone you love is going through something hard. Even when you have been really sick from pregnancy, I'm like, I literally don't know what to do, but I almost feel like now having gone through it, I'm like, oh, I think I would have a better idea. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I would maybe be able to just come by and drop off, like,
you know,
gum and
maybe,
apple
yeah,
juice
exactly.
and like just little things that I'm like, oh, maybe that would help. But I feel like before I was truly clueless. I remember being like, oh, maybe I'll drop flowers off to Chelsea. And then I'd be like, they probably smell so bad to her. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I felt like nothing was, I didn't know.
You just don't
do.
Know. Yeah, exactly.
So I do want to do that and put together a list for people if you have someone in your life that's going through that, because I think that could be good. I'm trying to think of what else I wanted to touch on, but honestly, there's like, hasn't been that much fun news because I've just been laying very low.
Are you?
And it's been the holidays.
Are you going to say, do you know the gender?
I do know the gender.
Okay.
I will not say now, but I will say later.
My God.
You guys will wait for that one. Yeah. That'll be really exciting. Yes, we do know. And everything has been just so exciting. Like every ultrasound, it just feels like life is kind of new again, like in a way where just we feel so much excitement for these little things and these literally anything, just like hearing the heartbeat or seeing the ultrasound, or when they printed out ultrasound photos and I was like holding them, I was like,
what is happening?
Like, how is this? It seems so, surreal after obviously just wanting it and working hard for it. It feels truly like imposter syndrome. You're just like, I never thought I'd see the day. Maybe more than the average person. Like, I feel like for anyone, it just feels crazy to be like, there's a baby inside me. It just feels very bizarre. But especially when you think it might not ever happen.
Yeah.
Then when it does, it's like even extra shocking.
Yeah.
So, I think it's going to feel more real now. Also, when I tell the world and the Valley girls, because it just, with every new person I've told, it feels more real. Like, for a long time, I remember also thinking, oh, when I get pregnant, I'm the worst liar. It's going to be so hard for me to like be around people and not tell them if I don't maybe want them to know for a little bit longer or something, just because I want to verify everything's good. It was not hard at all for me because I was like, it's not real.
Yeah.
In
yeah,
my head, I was like not like hiding anything because I'm like, is it really real? I don't know. It just doesn't. Even when I was sick, I was just like, is this actually happening? So, and I would weirdly get so nervous to tell people. Like, even at the beginning of this podcast, I'm like shaking because I'm just so, I don't know what it is.
It's so weird.
Most people are like, it's so fun to tell people. I'm like, I'm terrified. Yeah. Every time I go to tell someone, I'm like, not dreading it, but I'm just like,
so nervous.
Oh, I don't know.
I feel the same way when I tell people, like, my own sister. I'm like, what am I scared of? That she's going to like say something?
You know
something?
They're going to be so happy.
Yeah,
for
but
you.
I would be like, oh my gosh. I gotta tell them.
I know.
Maybe because it's just like so simple to say that you're like, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
It's like two words and then.
You're just waiting for a reaction. Yeah. It's like, here it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, anything else?
I mean, I'm trying to think of little details, but first of all, our babies will be.
A few months apart.
Yeah. A few months apart. Still pretty close.
Yeah.
Like basically like we are.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Wait, that's actually crazy.
When you're pregnant and you're like a week away from someone, that is actually
that's so insane. Yeah.
That your birthdays would be like a week away. Because think about friends that you have in your life. Like I have friends who are 2 years older than me, a year older than me.
Yeah, younger.
But when they're babies, it seems so, 2 months is crazy. Like when a newborn and a 2 month old are.
They're so different.
So different. But then once they become 2 years old, after that, it's like, oh my gosh.
They're just like toddlers together.
Yeah.
They're like little.
You don't even notice. So it's so, even though those couple months where I was pregnant and you weren't seemed like an eternity.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh my gosh, we were so close.
I know.
Basically the day after each
other. I know, the whole time.
Yeah.
I know. It's really fun and it's super exciting because obviously, like we've been mentioning, a lot of my friends are pregnant. You're pregnant. And so I feel like, I don't know, part of the club this time.
Part of the baby gang.
Yeah, which is really fun because I just feel like we can talk about it. And I guess, again, like, even though I was always happy for my friends and it was always fun, it does feel different to be involved and, like, just feel. I remember I saw this girl who has also gone through a bunch of infertility stuff. She had posted on TikTok, I think, and she was like, I always just kind of felt like I didn't have a seat at the table, even though no one made me feel like that. She's like, even though all my friends were so kind and supportive and, like, validating, she was saying, like, once she got pregnant and had a baby, she felt like she could contribute a little more to like the conversations and just like relate, I guess. And that's already how I feel. Not saying you need to always be in the exact same stage as all your friends, but I feel like
it is nice.
It's fun and it's to go through something with people that you love and stuff. And I will also say it's so much like so much of every life stage is about who you're around.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so interesting to me, kind of realizing that and observing that about my own situation, that like me not being able to get pregnant, when it just felt so much more of a big deal because of the environment I was raised in and the people I'm around.
Yeah.
And not to be like, it's not good or bad. It's just the truth. It's like when you are pretty much only around people who have families and have mm-hmm. kids and have multiple kids at this point, and like you still don't, you just feel excluded, even though no one's making you feel that way.
Yeah.
They're not trying to make you feel that way. Whereas when you're with people who are in their 30s and they're still dating people, you don't feel behind at all. You're just like, oh, this is great. And
we're ahead of the curve.
Yeah. It's just so, it's so trippy to like, to realize that even. Cause I would always think that I'm like, it's weird because if I lived in, you know, I'll follow some like New York influencers and a lot of them are just like dating and they're my age and they're just like dating their boyfriend and going out all the time. And I'm like, it's just so weird. Cause if I lived there and had that life with them, I don't know if I would feel so like saddled. Like,
yeah.
Sad or behind, because it's just not your environment. So that's like another huge
comparison
piece to the puzzle.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And even though you don't want to compare yourself, it's like,
yeah,
when that's the main group you're around 24/7, it's like kind of hard not to. But
definitely,
yeah. Anyway,
wow. Is there anything else that you can think of? This last little bit of pregnancy, little tidbits.
Not really. I wanted to maybe do like a question box on my story today and get some questions for like maybe the next episode or, you know, if there's something that I didn't like huge that I didn't touch on. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I kind of covered it all, like
caught up. You guys are all caught up on
the journey.
Secrets.
Yeah. I was thinking like, oh, I could go into my symptoms, but I'm like, it's just, I feel like all you need to know is I've been sick.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Which I was going to do. I started and maybe I'll post some. I think I only made one. Ended up making one. I was like, I'm so excited to like document my first trimester. I want to have like a first trimester vlog. Girl, what was there to document?
Yeah.
I just was so, there was nothing that I was really doing. Anyway. So I made like I was like, oh, I'm going to make morning routine videos like once every week. Like, you know, when I'm 7 weeks, when I'm 8 weeks, and post them on TikTok later. And I think I only made the 7 week one.
Yeah.
And then I was just so sick. I was like, bye, I'm not doing that anymore.
I know. It's so sad. It's
so,
it's every time the months that I'm sick, like both times I've been pregnant, when I'm going in on like looking like, you know, August.
Like your camera roll or something?
Yeah, my camera roll.
Ten pictures.
Yeah, 10 pictures.
Empty.
Just one of like me crying. And then just like a picture of my bagel or something like that.
Same.
It's just no, I don't even want to look at my phone. Everything makes you sick. So you just can't.
Any content I had, like,
impossible.
I think there were a few times, like, Leif would take Lady to the beach and, like, watch the sunset. I'm like, send me the content so I can pretend I did something today. Like, I'm like, there's nothing. So, yeah, I feel like there's not, I feel like now, again, moving forward, there will be more updates of, like, oh, here's how I'm feeling. Here's what I did this week or something. But, like, up until this point, again, even with the holidays, which we do have some holiday updates and some funny things that have happened that we'll go into. Is it on Friday?
Yeah, on Friday we have another episode coming up. It's our extra episode for this week and we'll do all the holiday catch up. We haven't talked to you guys in real life
in like
literally
a month. Yeah,
and so much has happened. So
yeah, there's a lot of funny. We have like some funny just stories and little things that we'll kind of do a catch up episode. That's why I'm saying maybe I'll have some
updates. They'll be coming for months to come.
At that point. Mm-hmm. And yeah, now I can just in real time update you guys how I'm feeling, what's going on. So that feels honestly so nice. Makes my life a lot easier too. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
But I guess I just, want to say thank you guys so much for just the support during this entire thing. Whether it was even 2 years ago, just saying that you're thinking of me or just the women that I've connected with through social media messaging me being like, I'm also going through this. And it just has really meant so much to me. And I mentioned this on recently, but I feel like over the course of just having a platform and having my life be on social media, I feel like I've become a lot more withdrawn, I would say. I feel like I've always been an open book. And I'd say obviously everything I share is still like authentic to me. I'm always myself, but I feel like I have just kind of valued more like privacy and kind of just not being as forthcoming about like every single emotion going on in my life as I get older and as I've had more time on the internet, because I've seen the positive and the negative effects that come from being very vulnerable. There's always going to be so much positive, but then there's going to be critiques of your vulnerability. And that's why I was also not sharing in real time, because I knew I literally at certain points could not handle, like, if someone was going to say, like, oh, it probably failed because of this, I was like, I will literally cry for a full day over that. That's how sensitive I am right now. So I cannot be posting this stuff. Like, I need to give myself some breathing room. So anyway, but I will say, like, after posting all these videos that were extremely, like, personal to me, I was just so, I know I already mentioned this a million times, I just was so genuinely touched by, like, the comments and the messages that I got. There were so many people that I connected with, and I'm like, I'm just so glad I shared, and I'm so glad you guys were receiving it and just being so kind. So thank you for everything.
New faith in humanity unlocked.
Yes. And it just makes me excited to continue to share the journey with such, like, beautiful, wonderful people, honestly, who have my best interest and are, like, supporting both of us and are excited for us even to be pregnant at the same time. Like, it's so fun. We've literally been waiting for this our entire lives.
Yeah.
And we live 5 doors down from each other, and we're pregnant. Like, it's the best thing ever. And so, yeah, it's just so exciting to finally share the news.
I know. I can't believe this is real. When this comes out, I'm going to be so nervous that day for some reason.
You're telling me. Plus, like, I'm so nervous. I'm like, girl, same. And you're making me nervous. Why is something to be?
It's the same thing as, like, just telling. It's not nervous for any bad result, but it's just, like, excitement. Yes. I think more than anything. And just built
nerves.
Up. Yeah.
It's nerves.
It's like we've been, oh, I just, I'm so excited.
I know.
Everyone's going to be so happy, so excited. I can't wait.
I know. Well, thank you guys so much for everything. If again, watch on YouTube. Hopefully this is up. The reason I'm saying hopefully is just because this is our first time recording.
Yeah, we don't know.
And
we're doing.
We don't know. We're hoping everything recorded right and the audio recorded right and the lighting. We don't know. But also, our studio is not done. I just feel the need, because I'm a perfectionist, to say that we have a few other things coming. We won't be, like, holding the mics like this. We got, like, some things to... These are a little clunky and they're a little bit old.
Yeah. So this is not the most ideal thing with a bump. I'm trying to not rest it on my child.
No.
Right now.
And we might put, like, a little table somewhere so we can have drinks. I don't know. And maybe something over. I don't know. We're still working it out. But we were like.
We're close.
We just want to get this out. We want to get video going because we've been talking about it for so long. And it's a new, fresh year. And we don't want to just wait for everything to be absolutely perfect before we release it. Because I don't think you guys care probably that much.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, hopefully you guys liked watching if it's up. And if not, thank you for listening. Thank you guys so, so much for all the support. Make sure you're following our Instagram for updates. We'll post some little, like, fun photos and stuff too. It's at What We Said Podcast. And make sure you're subscribed on the Apple Podcast app or Spotify app. If you're feeling extra generous, you can always leave us a rating and a review. It really means the world to us. But we love you guys so, so much. And
that's what we said. Bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.